Hello, this is the Pharaoh Wizards. I forgot everything that we do. That's okay though, because I'm Alvin, aka Dr. Feel Average.
And I'm Mike, or Too Long Farts, and that's Mike, like Michael Caine, who was the butler for
Oh,
Batman. We were trying to think of
Michael
Luther.
Caine. That's what it
Luther
is.
King wanted to point out that he was screaming at his podcast listening device and wanted to let you know that it was Michael Caine, but you apparently could not hear him.
Oh, well, it would have been funnier if it was Dean Cain, who is Superman in the Lois and Clark Adventures of Superman
But
thing. And
at
I
least
know
you're
him from nothing
in the
else. What?
At least you're in the right genre. You're in that
Yes.
superhero ballpark.
It was random person from a DC intellectual property on film and or television. Anyway, we play and review every Nintendo 64 game, so you don't have to. This week is NBA Showtime on NBC. Is that the full title here? Yes,
NBA
or NBA.
Showtime NBA on NBC.
Right, because redundancy is important, as are Nintendo 64 games.
Sure.
So, yeah. What do we know about NBA Showtime, NBA on NBC?
Was developed and published by Midway October 31st, 1999, and it has Shaq on the cover. After a contract issue of some sort left him off of the entire NBA Hangtime game, which was the successor to this one.
Oh.
That's it. He wasn't on. That was the previous game, and he wasn't in the game at all, which is weird because Shaq is great for NBA Jam style midway games and.
That's true. But Michael Jordan also not in this game.
That's also true.
Isaiah Thomas is, though, via cheat code. So use that information how you will. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's enough trivia. So we'll just get into the review. As always, we use a five category scale. It's gameplay, story, replay value, aesthetics, and the cost of value. And we start, as always, with gameplay. I gave the gameplay of this game a 19 out of 20.
I gave it 18 out of 20, so 92.5%.
Let's be blunt. This is NBA Jam. It's not called NBA Jam. And in fact, I believe there was an NBA Jam on Nintendo 64 that was not at all like this game. But yeah, it's NBA Jam. So everything you liked about NBA Jam with more 3D-ish players and a little bit better graphics than Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo. But other than that, that's what this game is. So you can pass, you can shoot, you can jump, block, steal, turbo. And if you make three shots in a row without the other team scoring, you get on fire. And that's really all you need to know to play this game. If you've played NBA Jam in any way, you can play this game.
Yeah, the NBA Jam Friend 64 turned into like a 3-on-3, I would say more simmy kind of thing, but I guess that's because Midway didn't have the license for it. I think somebody else got it, Acclaim or somebody took the NBA Jam license, but Midway kept making NBA Jam style games with NBA Hangtime and then this Showtime.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this was, I didn't even know this game existed. I remember texting you when we pulled this game out of the jar, and I'm like, this is Hang Time. I didn't even know this game was on this system. It's another one, which makes me think that maybe there's even another one that I don't know about. But there's this one now, and we're reviewing it. So
Nintendo always does things a little weird, but what we're telling you is in no way, shape, or form an insult to this game because honestly, that format of game like basketball game is pretty damn near perfect. Like, I get if you're like a big basketball fan and you enjoy The Sims and stuff like that, this might have a little bit less for you. But when it comes down to just purely, playing basketball and a fast-paced arcade style game. This hits all the right marks, and honestly, it feels a lot like playing an arcade game, especially now with the joystick. So that's a huge improvement, I think, for this game versus the D-pad that you had used on any of the previous iterations of this game. So, or this type of game, this franchise that isn't the franchise, the NBA Jam style basketball game. So it works really well on this console with these controls, I thought.
And there's a few differences between this and Jam. So if you are a longtime NBA Jam player, this one has fouls, so you're allowed five fouls. And if you get five fouls by turbo pushing, turbo stealing on somebody and knocking him over, the other team gets to shoot a 3-point free throw. Those are divided up into quarters, just like an NBA game. And fire changed a little bit. Now you can. So I just talked about the fouls. If you're on fire, you can foul without penalty, and you could always goaltend with fire, but now the goaltending counts like a block if you're on fire, and you don't get the goaltending penalty. So those are, I mean, cool extra little things. They improved the game little bits, but didn't stray too far away from the NBA Jam that people love. So,
I
yeah.
played 15 games and I never ran into a fouling situation. I had no idea that was a thing. So
Like you didn't foul anybody, or you didn't get enough fouls for the free throw.
it didn't ever mention fouls. It didn't like I knocked a couple guys down and they did like a little whistle thing, but
Yeah, that's a foul. And then,
they didn't stop the play.
no, it doesn't stop the play. The play continues unless it's five fouls in a quarter.
Yeah,
So all it does is adds a little tally to the top right of next to your turbo meter saying how many fouls you have for that quarter.
well, I mean, honestly, that's a good thing because otherwise it would be really easy to just, turbo shove everybody over nonstop and you never score, I guess. But I sincerely, it never occurred. Like, I never got that many fouls. So,
The only
interesting.
reason I found out that there was a free throw is because I was trying to foul out. I'm like, well, what happens if I foul out? And that's what, like the free throw animation is cool. It's like an NBA Live style thing where it's directly behind you, or a 2K style, I should say, with the little, it's got like a halo type thing or with arrows and stuff from behind the free throw shooter. And then when of course the computer made it against me, and I'm like, 3 points? The fuck is this? And you get the ball. So yeah, so it's a different chess piece for this game, which is why I love Jam so much, because it's not so much about, because you could go down and essentially just dunk every single time, and the computer would put up some resistance. They play defense a little better in this game, but you could find a way between like slashing and passing, or kicking it out, then passing it back in. You could score every single time down the floor, essentially. But it's more of like a chess game. Are you going to shoot a three, one or two times and try to get like a whole score ahead? Or, this game lets you switch players at halftime so you can change your lineup, not yourself, but your teammate on the lineup to adjust to the other team, because they don't actually adjust their players. So if they have two small guys, maybe you want a big man to get more rebounds or somebody to keep up with them, however you're playing. So this game with that foul thing, and then with, halftime adjustments and all of a sudden, like it just feels like a more in-depth NBA Jam. It's where it should be on this system. It was a good step ahead.
Yeah, and honestly, like the stats are there and they matter. Like your player is not going to be good at certain things if their stats are low. And there's like double the amount of stats that there were in, the previous NBA Jam titles, the classic ones where you pretty much got like five stats and it's like three-pointers, dunks, rebounds, steals, blocks. That's it. But this one here, like it has like I think it has offense and defense rebounds or something. I didn't look and don't remember them off the top of my head, but yeah, there's plenty of stats there available.
Yeah, strength and speed and 2-pointers, I think, is also a thing on this one. It's not just dunks and threes.
I mean, if I had any complaint at all, it's that the computer player's responsiveness to your, because you can kind of tell them whether you want them to pass or shoot, is not, they don't always listen to you, I guess. So like in other NBA Jam games, if your computer player was going up for a dunk and you told them to pass and they were like just about to dunk, they would pass it. This one here, not so much. They'll follow through with a play if they're making a drive to the basket or something like that. So, I mean, in a way, that's probably a good thing because otherwise it gets a little bit, a little bit chaotic and stuff like that. So, but I, like I said, if the computer was a little bit more responsive to commands, at least if you're playing from a single player, I would have probably given it a 20. But if I had to knock it for anything, that's what it was. So, yeah, I guess thumbs up. This is probably the highest cumulative gameplay score I think we've given anything to.
Yeah, damn near perfect.
Two games in a row where we've had our highest score in any single category.
Getting some good games. Coming out
Finally.
of nowhere, too.
Well, everything comes out of nowhere. It all comes out of the fucking jar.
No, I
So
mean, like, I didn't expect this game to be this good, especially
oh.
putting it in. I didn't even, like I said, I didn't even look at what it was.
Oh, sure.
We have a lot of games. Let's just remember that. It's not like I have played all these games or Alvin has played all these games, especially not Alvin, because this wasn't the system that like he loved so much. So I probably played more games than him previous to this, but there's still like 150 games I've never touched on this system. So when you put something in and you're excited by it, like that's such a good feeling.
It's funny that you own all these games, you haven't played half of them, and you're no longer excited about owning them. You're just like, ugh, well, I bought this into the tub.
They have a I have a special dresser now.
Okay.
The tubs got heavy. Carrying tubs up and down and switching between alphabetical tubs was becoming a burden.
Well, tub was not necessarily the ideal. You're not taking your own collection advice with the
No,
tub in
that
the
was to,
basement.
yeah, but the tub is to keep out the moisture.
True, it does do that, but it's not aesthetically pleasing. It doesn't keep things in a very good order because you know vaguely where they are, but anytime we have
Yes.
to pull a game out, it's like, hey, play this one, and then you're like, hold on, it's in this tub, and then you're like going through them all. It's a mess.
It's a fun feeling to be able to touch the games. That's what,
Oh. At least you're
that's,
touching
I
them and
mean,
not playing them.
I just mean, like, when I try to tell somebody why they should own physical games, it's hard to, like, quantify that. The only real thing I can say for like owning the physical games is you appreciate them more. Like if I had them all, I have a Wii that's modded. I have all the Super Nintendo games at my fingertips. I can play Final Fantasy 2 or 3 without spending, 50, $60 on them, or Super Mario RPG or whatever game, but it's just right there. So I can just like stop playing and immediately pull up another game. And I don't think you have a lot of appreciation for like taking a single game and enjoying it like you would when you were a child, and that's it. Like you have three games. Well, which of the three games am I going to play today? So, like, I feel like owning all of the physical copies makes me still appreciate like having it. Like, I have to put that one game in my N64, sit down with my TV, and that's the game I'm playing. I can't just immediately stop and play another game without having to walk and get one,
I used to definitely be on board with that, but I have since wholly embraced digital, and I have these games that I bought the physical copies of that I don't play simply because now this is for, the new consoles, which, you can get anything digital for that. But like I'll play a game that I want to play less because it's just on the console and I don't have to like switch a game out. That happens a lot. So, yeah. You got a message, sir.
It's somebody else's phone in the house. A lot of
Oh.
those are. Somebody text me telling me that they hate your all digital opinion.
No, I love
Listening to
it.
the show live.
I love it. I love it now because I can carry the things. But there are advantages of physical copies. One, the publisher or the manufacturer of the console can't fucking take it away from you. And
Oh, I
that's.
plugged in my 360, and oh my God, am I so angry that I can't just have all of the games I downloaded.
Yeah, I know.
As soon as you update it to like the newest version of Xbox Live, all of a sudden shit's missing or it doesn't work, and ugh.
Yeah, so. You get around digital rights management if you have physical rights in your hand. Slam dunk, home run. But there is, I mean, console, the carts are a little bit different too. The cart always feels like you're owning a thing. I don't know. For me, CDs have never really felt like a thing. Like I'll have it in my hand and it's like, oh, this fragile fucking thing, it's going to end up getting scratched and I'm not going to be able to use it. So I was always very anxious to end up ripping my CDs onto different formats so I don't have to carry around a disc all the time now. So, but carts are a little bit different. It feels like you have a toy, like it's a real physical object that matters. So that's kind of fun. We're a little off track though.
Yeah, a little bit.
So let's move on to the next category, which is story. I gave it an 8 out of 20.
I gave it a 12 out of 20, 50% of the points.
Now, there's not like a formal season mode. There's like a challenge mode. I don't know what to call it, what they actually call it, where your goal is to basically beat every team. And you can create a player. Now, the create a player is actually pretty cool. There's a lot of models to choose from and stuff like that. It even had female players, which is kind of a neat little addition that a lot of games didn't have. So that's kind of fun. But you kind of set your stats up, and you can start with like, you start out with really lousy stats no matter what. But you gain points by completing games and answering trivia questions after the game. And once you achieve a certain amount of points, you get more attributes to add to your character. And also winning games, like if you win a certain amount of games or against different teams, you, I think, also gain more attribute points. I didn't max out a character, so I'm not 100% sure all the different ways you can get points. I just know that one of them is the trivia questions, which made me laugh a lot. But that's about as deep as the story gets. Like I said, there's no franchise, there's no trading players or anything like that. It's NBA Jam, so you get what you get.
Yeah, so the game does obviously contain real NBA players. So that's, one of our criteria for realism in a sports game is does it have real things? And it does. So you do your creative player, which we'll just consider the career mode, because you could play as NBA players, but nobody's doing that.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
boring.
unless you're playing competitively, yeah, that's not how you play single player.
Right.
So you build your player up in the career type mode. And there's lots of other things like the announcer. Like you can add yourself a voiced nickname, so you can pick a, it's not the name that you typed in, obviously, unless you type in some boring name like the Striker or Golden or something like that, but the announcer will say your name, so that's cool. And I feel like I became really invested in the career mode, but it was mostly because, leveling up your character, RPG style thing that I like, but also that it was fun to play around with what team you were playing on. I don't know if you always picked the same team, but I've flipped around trying to find a good complement. I had a like 3-point shooter with high speed and rebound, so I could, I mean, that's the way that I was playing it. So I was trying to find a, big man to plug up the middle, but I found that guys like Hakeem were fun, but also guys like Clyde Drexler or John Stockton were also really fun, like outside guys that could slash and pass and stuff. So it was fun, like playing around with my teammates, which made the career mode better for me.
Sure, I can see that. And like every team, you can choose any player that's in that roster of players, and most of the big names are all there. So, I mean, I usually pick Detroit, so I had Grant Hill pretty much be my complement and everything. And Grant Hill's one of those players that's kind of just good at everything. So I didn't have to dig too deep to find a complement because it didn't matter what kind of player I was playing as. I had Grant Hill on the other side, so everything was good. But yeah, I mean, and the announcers are, as far as play-by-play goes, it's pretty solid. It's nothing, I mean, they're not going to blow you away. They don't do a lot for like humor, color commentary, anything like that. It's pretty standard NBA Jam type stuff too, without all the over the top he's on fire, like that type of stuff. I mean, they say stuff like that, but it's not as prevalent like NBA Jam had it.
It's more refined.
They're actually calling a basketball game. But other than that, though, it gets real thin, so you really got to enjoy the game. Fortunately, the game's good, but they don't give you a lot of extra content. You got to kind of make it yourself in that regard. So the creative player is worth it. You know, I would have even probably given it a couple points higher, but every goddamn time you want to enter in a new game, you got to put your initials in, then you got to put your password in, and that
Yeah.
irritated the shit out of me. I'm like, are you kidding me? Every time I got to do a password, you can't just skip the password, which I guess is cool because that means somebody can't, steal your initials and mess with your created character on your save or whatever. So if you had multiple people in the same household playing, it would be more difficult for somebody to sabotage you. But I don't know. Like I said, that was a little bit of a frustration. Not a very good. And then, like, for the, playing different teams and stuff like that, was it random? Could you pick a team? Because it felt random to me.
It was, I believe it was random. Like,
Yeah.
but once you beat a team, obviously they didn't fall into the pool of teams that, like, it would still keep track of who you played.
Right.
And I felt like if I lost to a team and went back, I didn't get to play the same team a second time. They always switched it after a loss.
Oh, okay. Oh, you mean you didn't play twice in a row, you're saying?
Yeah, you didn't play the,
Yeah.
so if you lost to the Grizzlies, you didn't play the Grizzlies a second time. And I don't know if that was like, to keep the game fresh for you, or if it was so you didn't adjust to how the Grizzlies played and then immediately went back in with a different team and trounced them. But it could be either thing, or it could be neither. It could be completely fucking random and they didn't care about any of that.
I think they were pulling out their jar.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah. So I mean, like I said, it's enough to make it interesting playing single player, and building a character is kind of fun. It's just it's not a lot of variety there, and there's not a lot of depth to it. But the trivia question, that was an interesting thing. I didn't expect that at all. I'm like, oh shit, what do I know about basketball from 1999? And it turns out
Yeah.
I was able to relatively guess well on a lot of the trivia questions.
That's always my problem with like trivia in games too, is trying to acclimate yourself to what year the game came out in, especially with sports, because sports change so, you know, it's not like just general video game trivia. It's sports specific trivia to the end of the 90s. Like, do you remember the end of the 90s? Like, well, I guess, you know, 15-year-old me pretty much remembers this, but
Yeah, like how in the NFL quarterback club game we played, Barry Sanders was like a 79 overall because he's not a quarterback. Like Barry Sanders is a terrible passer, so he had low ratings.
yeah.
And I'm like sitting here thinking, was Barry Sanders bad this year? I don't remember 1999 that well. Shit. Oh, we talked a lot in this first half, so let's go to commercial and we'll come back with the rest of the review.
The Shaq attack has risen. Roll call 3 p.m. This is Twism. Always and forever, forever, always attack. I bring favor to the air like Craig Mack. Life's a B and then your D. Refer to Nasty Nas, Illmatic, CD number 3 static. You don't want none, you best to keep looking. AEIO use the ass whooping. You're tooken into clearing present danger. I'm a perfect stranger, quick to rearrange you. Outlook, so look out, you hear me comes. Quick to beat you now like the RZA on the drums. Change my name like Prince, punks be trembling. My name ain't Shaq no more. Call me Superman Emblem. March get set, go left. The Shaq, the RZA. Get ready for the meth.
And we're back. Our next category is replay value. I gave the replay value a 19 out of 20.
I gave it 18 out of 20, so 92.5% a gain.
Another high score. So we got two really high scores on this game so far. Replay value. Now, obviously, we talked about in the story, there isn't much in terms of depth when it comes to making a character and doing your career mode or whatever you want to call it. That being said, it's fun to do that and rebuild the character and make different types of players and stuff like that. So you could have a tall guy that can, dunk, or you could have a tall guy that could shoot if you really wanted to go that route. But there were, it's entertaining to go through that. So, but obviously, a lot of the additional replay value you're going to get out of this is playing competitively, player versus player versus somebody. It supports up to four players, so that's cool. And I guess in theory, if you had four people all make their own characters, you could all put in your name and password and all play as your created guy. So also fun. Yeah, like I said, it's if you enjoy basketball games like NBA Jam, that arcade style, you could play this game for hours and hours. You could do tournaments, you could do all sorts of fun things with it. And there are a bunch of cheat codes too that you could put in there to unlock certain different goofy modes, like there's a big head mode and there's hidden characters, and there's even a tournament mode, which I didn't actually try, but there's a code for it, so I don't know what that's about. But yeah, there's depth in there when it comes to cheat codes and things like that. It's like some of the newer Mortal Kombat games with those cheat codes where you have to enter in a 3-digit number on like two different controllers. Like you have to agree to it. So if you're going to do a cheat code, the other person has to do the same code. But and it's not numbers per se, it's symbols. It's if you've played Mortal Kombat, you know what I'm talking about. Like Mortal Kombat, I guess I started that in three with the cheat codes. But anyway, enough about the cheat codes. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it's mostly this is going to be a competitively played game, and it's a lot of fun to play versus somebody else.
Yeah, like you said, it's this is a very arcadey style game, one that you'd play in your local Pizza Hut in your teens or whatever. But it's the exact opposite of Rampage. It like almost always feels fresh. Like it there I never was dreading playing an additional game. It was always like, all right, well, can I like squeeze one more in before I have to, eat something and go to work today? Yeah, I can get one more in. 'Cause that's another great thing about it is I love games that are like drop in and complete something in 10 minutes. Like I used to love Phantasy Star Online episode 1 and 2 for the GameCube, because even though that was a long like immersive like RPG thing, there I would memorize certain levels like Forest 2 and then I could just run through it as fast as like I can get one more run in start to finish before, because I knew exactly how long it would take me. And this is one of those games, like it doesn't matter how you play, the game's going to take you 10 minutes. Like it's just 10 to 15 minutes start to finish, you play it, and that's a great feeling to know exactly how much time you're going to invest in something and not have to like sit down all goddamn afternoon just to get a game going or get yourself back into it.
So wait, you're saying Phantasy Star was a game that you had to sit down and take a long time on, right?
Yeah, but you could still, there was bits, like if you wanted to just do a little bit, you'd have to like I said, you'd have to focus on one level and you have to play it over and over again so you knew that you could do that one level in a small bit. Otherwise,
Okay.
you couldn't enjoy it in small bits without
Right.
just grinding the same thing over and over again, where this is always fresh. Like
I
you
was
can
just
play it and it's always different.
Making sure you weren't comparing like the styles of an MMO to NBA Jam, but not because I would have been like, no, you're wrong. But I see what you're saying now. We are in agreement. Yes.
Yeah.
You just wanted to drop that Phantasy Star reference in there. I'm surprised you didn't go Dreamcast with it.
No, I did play a lot on Dreamcast, but I feel like we played that more on GameCube. So that's more of a GameCube game to me.
Well, we played a lot of local GameCube, yeah. But online it was Dreamcast. I played a lot of
Yeah.
it online on Dreamcast.
Oh, yes.
Using that sweet, sweet dial-up internet.
And that killer keyboard that you could get with the system.
Which I did eventually buy. I think I might still have it. I don't remember if I tried it. I don't matter. Different system. Not our problem. But yeah, so I mean, like I said, the replay, this is a game meant to be played with other people. But if you do want to just sit down, because two people that are both very good at this game, it can be really competitive. Those games are going to come down to the wire every single time. And it's not like it doesn't feel like there are a lot of sports games where if one person gets super far ahead, the other person's going to start slingshotting back. That might exist in this game, but I never see it because most of the time the games stay within a couple baskets of each other. Because it's relatively hard to play defense in this game, like short of knocking people down. And now that I guess you could foul out, which I had no idea about. But yeah, it really changes. The ball changes hands very quickly, and it's pretty tough to stop somebody from scoring. So it basically comes down to who's taking those high risk 3-point shots. and missing is about the only way you can get ahead. But yeah, that's, I mean, really what it comes down to. So that is all we have to say about that.
I do have a little more about
Okay,
replay. The
okay.
only reason I was 18 instead of 19, I took 1 point away because this game, just like every Midway basketball game since Tournament Edition NBA Jam, has that god awful, and they won't, like, I don't think it's ever been proven, but I'm sure it has somewhere, where if the computer has the ball last and it's like you just made a shot to put yourself up two, and they're gonna huck a three, they make it like 75% of the time. Or to make a full court shot to tie the game and send it overtime, it feels like three out of four.
Okay,
And
yeah, no, you're right, because that happened to me many times, the computer shooting last second full court threes, and I'm like, idiot, no way you're gonna make that. And they've made it like at least 50% of the times they made that shot. And I'm like, well, this is bullshit. Like one game I was up by 12 and they still made it, and I'm like, motherfucker. I'm like, I don't even care, but that's stupid. Yeah, no, that
So,
was, you're absolutely right. I guess I don't know if I downgrade the replay for that, but that does happen a lot. The full
I
court
do,
three is
because
a viable
that's a
play.
detriment from the beating, because if you're trying to beat all the teams and you're up by two, because once the teams get progressively harder. So the ones like we were mentioning, Memphis, and those are were regarded as the weaker teams, the NBA team. When you get to the top 10 teams, it's hard to beat them. It's not easy. So when you're up, when you the game is tied and you sink a three at with like 0.9 seconds left, you're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my, and then they make a full court three and you're like, oh yeah, well fuck this game. That affects long-term replayability because that's bullshit. Like, and it's so bad.
Yeah, I didn't even think to mention it because I thought maybe it was just a fluky thing, but you're right. The full court three is a last second full court three. The percentage goes up drastically, apparently,
And
because
not for
it
you
happens.
either. Not for you. I don't
I
think I
made
made
one.
one.
I made one. I did make one. I don't try them that often. Usually I'm ahead, so I'm just trying to hold the ball and going for one more dunk just to like, seal the deal. But
Yep.
I did make one full quarter. It wasn't really full, it was like half court, but you
It's
get the
still
gist.
bullshit. It's
It is
bullshit.
bullshit. All right. Well, we'll move on to the next category, which is the aesthetics. I gave it a 16 out of 20.
I gave it 14 out of 20, so 75%.
Well, before I even talk about what the game looks like, first and foremost, like I said, the audio and the commentary, the music and all that stuff is very crisp and clear for a cart, and it kind of makes you wonder why more games can't have good sound quality. Maybe it's just size restrictions is probably the biggest issue in terms of storage, but this game sounds good. So that's kind of a neat thing. As for looks, I mean, everything is, the characters are all 3D modeled, but they're not like outrageously misshapen. They try to recreate faces and in general skins for these characters. So it looks pretty good. I mean, in terms of it looks a lot, it looks at least as good as the best wrestling game in terms of the character models. There's different stadiums and things like that. They all have different looks and whatnot. But all in all, I mean, it's a pretty decent looking game. Nothing super spectacular about it. It doesn't do any one thing particularly well other than the sound. But it looks well enough that it plays good even on, because I should clarify, or we should maybe even talk about this one time, because I play on my normal TV. I have a pretty nice Sony Bravia. So I'm playing on like a 52 inch 4K TV, which sometimes some of these games don't look very good when it comes to that. You usually play on the tube TVs, don't you?
Yeah, I have a big monster Panasonic tube TV down, or is it Toshiba? I don't
Yeah.
remember. There's a couple in the basement. But yeah, I usually play on that. If I do play upstairs because my kids require constant attention, I play on a smaller, like a 28-inch flat screen, which is an older one. It's an older Samsung that's got component, so I play on there too.
Yeah. So yeah, that's another thing I have to do. I have to actually hook through like a converter because my TV doesn't have any goddamn component composite cables or whatever. So that's fun. But I'm taking away any time you have to talk about the aesthetics. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, what you said is good. My complaints are like, the shoulders were weird on the players, like they're a little blocky and squarish, and like that could, like it didn't feel like they tried real hard on the player like body models. The faces were really recognizable, and I thought the animations were really good. The ones that got me the most were like the leans, the forward and backward leans on shots. And like spinning, the spin move looked really good coming from from the NBA Jam style sideline angle. The spin looked like it was moving, diagonally, which is a thing that like a lot of the three games struggled with. Was it was cool to have polygons and stuff, but didn't always look like they were moving in space correctly. And this game is always like moving correctly, so I thought it was good. It's
Yeah,
good
no,
animations.
you're absolutely right. Like even some of like the non-important animations, like before the jump ball, the face-off thing happens, like your player kind of like stretches and kind of like gets ready to go and stuff like that. And it's not, it does, it looks good. Like it's all the animations that they did in this game are very smooth and fluid, and none of it feels like it's like a canned thing. It all feels like it's integrated into the game. It's not an animation. The character's actually doing that. It's moving, like you said, in space in the right way, which is something you don't see in a lot of like sprite-based games, like all the old ones were, where it's literally 2D. This is clearly a 3D game. It's just operating on like a 2D perspective. So that's kind of it works really well for this game. Like I said, you're right, the body models are all very generic, but that's, I don't think it's the technology just wasn't there to have a realistically moving, like, or animated. They couldn't do round, let's put it that way. Round is very difficult on Nintendo 64. So if you see something that is perfectly spherical, it's probably taking up all that the Nintendo 64 can handle to have that many, I don't know, points on a single plane. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they do look a little boxy when it comes to that. But like, I was surprised even too, because like I said, I made a lot of different characters, and even like the women characters, like that, they didn't just take a woman's head and put it on like Shaq's body. It was actually like that. You clearly tell that's a woman. So that was kind of fun too. Like they did a lot to give variety and stuff like that to the characters. And like you said, the faces, for what this game is, they did a pretty good job, I think. Because when you're just wrapping a skin around a generic head or body or whatever, it's really easy to make it look kind of weird. Because you definitely see that in like some of the wrestling games, where sometimes those faces don't exactly you get the impression of what they were going for, but it's a far reach from realistic.
And like you said, I thought the sound was good. It was the problems I had were obviously that the theme was the NBC and or NBA and NBC theme, the Round Ball Rock by Scourge of Society, John Tesh. And but it sounds good though. I will say that it like you said, it makes you wonder if they can pop a theme song in, and granted it's not a long theme song, it's a minute and a half or whatever, but it sounded pretty close to CD quality as far as like the N64 goes. Granted, that was the only song that sounded like that in the game, but so they only had to put one in. But like the announcers were good, and they brought back Tim Kitzrow, who was the announcer from the NBA Jam. If you played NBA Hang Time on the same system or on Super Nintendo or PlayStation, they had a different announcer for NBA Hang Time. So they brought back Tim Kitzrow for this, the original Boom Shakalaka guy.
Well, that's good. I didn't realize that. That's kind of cool. My gosh, it's funny. This is usually one that we have a lot to talk about, but I think we're kind of on the same page. Our ratings are a little bit different, but yeah, like I said, it's this game. But back to what I was kind of talking about before we got sidetracked on the TVs. This game still looks good and playable in pretty much any way you play it, for Nintendo 64 here, which a lot of these games don't hold up nearly as well. Like I said, I'm playing it on a modern TV through, a digitally converted thing, and it still looks good here. So I would say that this game is pretty, it holds up. We'll put it that way. It holds up really well, compared to what a lot of games on this system look like. So I guess we'll move on to the next category and the final category, which is the cost to value. Now, this game is currently retailing at around 14, 15 bucks. That's what price charting it has it at. They're not, it's not a super rare game. It exists in there. You can find it places, and it's not ultra expensive, a little bit higher than the average, but not significantly so. That being said, I gave it a 15 out of 20 for value.
I also gave it 15 out of 20, so 75% of the points.
Yeah, so.
When I played it, it was 1360, so it went up a little bit, which is, disconcerting. I don't like games going up, but it is what it is. It's a good price for a really great game. Obviously, up to this point, we have praised it. So to tack on a couple bucks to that 10 whatever median price that we've set our standard for price at, this is, I mean, it's well worth it. It's a, and it's, this is the expensive version. It's like $5 on PlayStation if you want to play it on PlayStation, but it's still a buy for me. I mean, I don't know why you
It's
wouldn't buy this game.
better on Nintendo 64 too. This isn't a matter of you can just swap back and forth and not notice a difference. It looks better on Nintendo 64, it runs better on Nintendo 64, and the controller in this one rare occasion is better than the standard PlayStation controller for this game. So if you're looking for like an arcade experience, N64 is the way to go. Definitely, I think the ideal way to play this one is on this console. And immediately when I saw the price, I'm like, all right, well, how much is NBA Jam? Because I wanted to see if there actually was an NBA Jam. And that's when I found out there is, and it's completely different than this game. And NBA Jam's about the same price. So, and this one's better. This game is better than NBA Jam. So, as far as Nintendo 64 basketball games go of this type, I'd say this is the one to buy. Or at least this franchise is the one to buy. Avoid NBA Jam unless for some reason you just, I don't know, wanted another person on the court.
Yeah, and the Hang Time, the other one from Midway on this system that we are aware of, is actually a little more expensive. That's almost a $20 game right now. So this one is, but Hang Time is sprite based. It's not 3D modeled polygons. So if you like,
Really?
it's a smoother looking, more faithful NBA Jam style thing, I guess. Whereas this is was pushing the boundaries. They made it. This is a game for N64, for the arcade, using polygons where Hang Time was sprite based. And it, well, because they released it on everything. It was out on Super Nintendo, PlayStation, Nintendo 64. So it was one of the last Super Nintendo releases. So they put it all over the place. You can get it on Sega. I think I own three different copies of that game.
Oh, are you talking about Hang Time?
Hang Time, yes.
Ah, okay. Well, yeah, but well then for me, yeah, that settles it for me even more. But yeah, so this one's definitely in terms of value in the upper, definitely in the upper half. I'd say in the upper 25% of games you should probably look into buying. If you find this one for cheaper, definitely pick it up. I would probably even pay a little bit more for this one, honestly. If I saw this one lying around for 20 bucks, I would spend 20 bucks on this game.
This game might end up costing me more money in the long run, specifically because now I decided I wanted to look at the 1UP Arcade because I assumed after finding out that this was yet another Midway game that maybe it was included because they have an NBA Jam 1UP Arcade game. 1UP, like the little, but the 1UP has NBA Jam, NBA Jam Tournament Edition, and NBA Hang Time. Why do you need both NBA Jam and Tournament Edition? Who plays regular NBA Jam? Like, nobody plays regular. You go straight to Tournament Edition. That's the good one. Those two games are nearly identical, except Tournament Edition does everything better. Like,
yep. Yeah, Tournament Edition is obviously the one you want. Like, who's out there? Like, that's like the people out there, and I know there's at least one person listening. I know there's somebody listening right now that plays vanilla WoW, that plays that. Why would you do that? Don't do that. Don't go. Don't. That's not. It's not better. It's not better at all. Don't do it. I swear to God. But anyway.
But this game still made me want. Like, I still will probably. if that specific 1UP arcade, because some of them are more expensive, that's one of the $399 ones, like $399. If that one drops down to like $250 range, I might pick it up.
Okay, when you say 1UP arcade, what exactly are you talking about?
Those standalone arcade things that you can buy from like Walmart and Target and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Like the cabinet plus the riser plus, and it has, most of them have three games. Between three of them, so
I get what you're talking about now.
So that 1UP's the company. So
okay,
so that arcade machine has those three NBA Jam, NBA Jam Tournament Edition and Hang Time. But if it had Showtime, I saw one at Walmart the other night. I went to look at the box, if it had Showtime, I had my wife's blessing to buy it. She's like, early Christmas present for yourself. I'm like, nope, doesn't have NBA Showtime. I don't want it that bad.
Honestly, though, did this get an actual formal arcade release, or was this a console exclusive?
Didn't look. I'd be surprised if it didn't, though, because it felt like the arcade style. It felt like a game that they would have put out. I would imagine it probably had one.
It really did. Like, everything from, like I said, the presentation to everything, it had a really, really arcade feel to it, like in a good way. Like, it felt like this belongs on a cabinet. I would put quarters into this. Now, it didn't have anything like insert coin type things, so you'd basically be playing per game and stuff like that. But I don't know. I just thought this was a really solid arcade game. And honestly, I'm with you on that one. This one would be worth getting a actual stand-up arcade machine, and if that 1UP thing had it, that would be cool. But NBA Jam's good too. Like, I don't know, Tournament Edition's almost worth it. I don't know if I'd pay $400 for Tournament Edition in any iteration of it, but it's still a lot of fun. Just really like these games.
Yeah, and I checked. It does. NBA Showtime is a very real thing. In fact, the one I'm looking at is a four-player midway arcade cabinet that has both NFL Blitz and NBA Showtime. So now I feel like I'm going to end up spending like $2,000 in the near future. Like, that might be the one.
I've probably seen that before then. Okay, because I didn't consider it being a joint cabinet like that. But that makes sense. I bet you I have seen this before then.
Yep, okay. It's Blitz 2000 on one side. Like, one side of the cabinet has the Blitz 2000, like, laminate on it. The other side of the cabinet has NBA Showtime, and then the four player thing split down the middle has basketball and football on it.
That's cool.
That is cool. This one is $3,100, the one I'm looking at.
ouch. I there's only one arcade cabinet I'd pay that kind of money for if I had it. And it's
Silent Scope. That's not that expensive.
I know, right?
Why is this so big?
I'd buy it and I'd be like, "Get here. Here's more. Like, here's like $1,000 more for this cabinet. Why are you selling it so cheap? It's amazing." All right. Well, what are we looking at for total scores?
I gave it a 77. You gave it a 77. So we gave it a 77. Big math.
So that's another, this would put this top of the year, right?
Oh, easily at the top of the year. I wish
Battle
I
Tanks
remembered
was
60 what,
something.
Yeah, what did Donkey Kong get last year? You remember, was that 78?
Yeah, that was in the higher 70s, maybe even up to 80. I don't remember exactly where it ended up, but this is going to be pushing one of the best ones.
No, 73 for Donkey Kong.
Oh, no kidding. So this is number one.
This is it by far.
This is our so far favorite game. Well, you can tell it's our favorite game so far because we're talking about, you know, you're talking about spending $400 on it. And we're looking at $2,000, $3,000 cabinets. So that's this is a buy. This is we'll have to say it. This is a must own. You gotta own Showtime. If you're gonna own any basketball game, this is probably the one to get. You know, I
Yeah.
played a lot of NBA Live 98 for PlayStation, and it looks like hot garbage compared to this game, and it's not even close. Like, it did not look good when it came out, and it definitely does not hold up. Whereas this game still looks pretty darn good in comparison to just about anything else from that era. So.
All of my fond memories of NBA Live are like in that like 95 range where it was very pixelated, but it was also very fun to make a whole like team of custom players. That was the game where everything was really slidey, right? Like where momentum felt like it was like perpetual. Like I don't know if you play those. It
I'm
was
not gonna
Sega
lie.
I played it on.
I didn't play any Genesis Super Nintendo basketball games other than NBA Jam. That just wasn't on my radar. So when it comes to that generation, basketball is all foreign to me. But it wasn't until PlayStation that I'm really like, oh, you know, basketball games are actually pretty good. But
So speaking of pretty good, the gamer rankings aggregate was 72% on this one. So for once, we are higher than when it came out, according to the massive media. IGN 7.1, GameSpot 6.8, EGM 7.8.
guess we're in the EGM range, but that's crazy. That's crazy that they didn't like this game as much. I mean, I guess it probably came down to depth, is my assumption, like what that was available to the game. Because, you know, if you're spending 60, 70 bucks on a game, because games were that much back then, I could definitely see maybe you wanting to get more of a simulation style out of it. And like I said, there are some things about this game that do make it a little bit frustrating. Like I said, most of it has to do with you putting your name and password in every goddamn time you want to play a game. And there's not really a formal, like, you don't know that you're playing a championship mode until you actually like complete it. You're literally just playing games until you're not playing games anymore. So I don't know, like boo to the mainstream media on this one. You slept on this game. They
And
slept on it.
we're not like big sports heads either. Like sports
What?
probably is. I mean, like as far as video games, I don't think that sports is my go-to genre. Like I like watching sports and I like fantasy sports, but I don't feel like I gravitate towards all types of sports games. Like I really like hockey games and I like racing games, but I don't buy a ton of like soccer and I don't buy a ton of basketball games.
Oh,
Do you
that's
buy a lot of basketball games? Like
basketball? No, I don't buy a lot of basketball games. I will say that. Basketball's not really been my sport.
Do you buy a lot
I
of
like the
like
style.
baseball games? Like we rated All-Star Baseball high. Do you buy current gen baseball games?
I don't buy a lot, but I will pick them up after they get cheaper. Yeah. And I buy hockey every year, and I have for the past like 10 years. So
It's the same, but I don't buy like I usually end up buying Madden and hockey, but I don't buy them at release. I wait till the first price break or maybe like $39.99 is where I start to feel comfortable.
See,
But basketball, no.
well, yeah, well, we can definitely say that we're not big on necessarily basketball games. I just love, honestly, I love this style. I've tried playing basketball games before. Frankly, I'm just not good at it. And a lot of these games, especially as they get more realistic, you have to kind of know how the sport works, I guess. Like, if you picked up a hockey game and knew nothing about hockey, and you were playing with like all the rules on in a simulation hockey game, you are not going to do well at that game. But like, I understand the game of hockey, so I know I need to pass in these situations. I need to set these kind of plays up. When that's what you run into with a lot of simulation type games. This, no, you don't need to know shit. You just need to know basket's there, go put it in. So this has a lot of appeal to, I think, this style has a lot of appeal to people that aren't necessarily into the sport. Like I said, I last time I watched a basketball game, it was like college basketball like 5 years ago, and I think that's the closest I got to caring.
But
And it
see,
was
even though you immediately yelled at me, you inadvertently got to where I was trying to get on this topic, which was Even though I don't buy a ton of basketball games,
Well,
this game is something that is accessible to everybody. So you don't have to be somebody who buys, basketball games every year or is completely in love with the NBA to enjoy this game, which is why it makes it such a good, like, must buy for us. So without us
yes.
being huge basketball game players, this is still, look how high we rated this. I mean, this is such a good game.
If you had phrased it like that, I would not have had my aside. However, you said we're not big sports guys. When we have talked about sports on like 50% of games that don't even
But you
have
didn't even let me
sports.
finish. I want to say we're not big sports guys in that we buy every single sports game that comes out every year. Like,
Well,
I didn't even get that far.
this is recorded, and I
Yep.
waited for you to clarify, and you never did. And you exactly said that thing that you said you did not
I'm sorry
say.
that I don't that all my thoughts don't come out immediately. Sometimes I have to make sure I don't sound like an idiot on recorded media. So I'm thinking in my head where I'm trying to get.
See, all of this is actually scripted. We wrote all of this exactly how we're reading it, including this line right now. So this is all planned because we're a well-oiled machine.
Yep, we're
And we're pro
consistent.
we're professional podcasters. We've made $13.27 doing podcasts, and you can't tell us otherwise.
You
Fun.
can, but we'll just deny it up and down.
Deny, deny, deny.
Right.
Well, I guess let's pick next week's game. Well, shall
Let's.
we? Oh, who?
Yes.
I'll let you do it because you have the jar.
Yeah. Okay. I'm getting it. Hang on. It's down on the floor.
Okay. I thought
Okay.
you left it like in a different zip code again or something.
Not like you, where I keep the things that I need all in one room. I don't just go meandering around my house frequently. So,
See, I've recorded in three different rooms today, so.
yeah, I know. 246, Alvin.
246, and number 246 is.
Midway's Greatest Hits, Volume 1.
All right, so we're sticking with Midway. I know Joust is on this game, and Joust is one of my favorite classic arcade games, and I don't know what else is on
What I know about this is there's no Volume 2 on the N64.
it. Nailed it. Man, Midway, you guys are fucking on top of this shit. Like volume one. That's it. That's all the arcade games. We got them all.
They're setting that precedent. It doesn't, I mean, you don't necessarily always have to do the sequel. You just say volume one, leave them salivating. Maybe some year you'll get those games from 30 years ago.
That's why Apple called their iPod One, right?
Yep.
And that's why Xbox calls their Xbox One, because it's the first one, the first of many.
All excellent points.
Branding is fun.
Well, shit.
Well, and now we have my favorite thing in football, but my least favorite thing in video game reviews, and that's a tie. So, we're going to do another one of our very fun, positive power trips. So, power trip time. All right, power trip time. Normally, power trip is 30 seconds of us talking, well, whoever reviewed higher, talking without interruption for 30 seconds. But we tied. So, in these cases, we try to think of something we both like. And we'll talk about things we both like for 30 seconds apiece, one after another, because we didn't know what else to do with it. Once again, professional podcasters made $13. We know what we're doing.
Entirely.
Yes, dude.
We knew one out of 100 numbers that these games could be. We scripted this that we would pick the same number because we're professional
Professional
podcasters.
podcasters. And I guess our sponsor this week, do you know? Do we have one?
I didn't pick a sponsor
Well,
because I had to think of
sponsors
something.
obviously pick us. So this week we are sponsored by Quick Strip, the convenience store strip club that the state of Wisconsin has decided is something that is needed because roller bites and naked ladies should both be in the same building, I suppose. And our podcast has everything to do with all of that. And they decided, hey, let's just give them money. They don't pay us anything. And that's the sponsor.
I was completely unaware of Quick Strip. I thought maybe you had
No.
misspoken. I am so glad
No,
I didn't interrupt
quick
you.
strip, quick strip. You can Google that one too. That was a real pitch being made that might actually fucking happen. And I don't know who it's for. But
If it's not if it doesn't have a drive-through, I don't
well,
understand why
Quick
they would
Trip
even
doesn't have a
try.
drive-thru.
Would it
Now,
be a
can you
drive?
get gas is the
Yeah,
question.
but if you think of okay, if you can get gas and it has a drive-through strip show, I feel like maybe they're on to something then.
Or what if the strippers pump your gas? I don't know. And like, oh, and then the longer you pump the gas, the more they take off. Are you listening, Quick Strip? The more gas you pump, the longer they have to take clothes off. Boy, there's just going to be gas just all over the ground because people will just be like, yeah, fuck it. Just spraying it, make it rain. Gas.
Would be the only useful thing they've ever done with those screens, screen on the pump, would be the longer that you hold the pump button down, the longer that the chicken you get the live feed
Oh
inside
my
of Quick Strip.
God, like a peep
So while you're
show.
Live feed, yeah, so the live feed inside goes while you're pumping gas.
That's wild. That's wild.
Are you
Quick
listening,
Strip.
Quick Strip? Because we're just pitching $1 million
E
ideas
easy,
right here.
easily $1 million idea. I don't understand you guys. Like, why do you pay us? I mean, we're doing the work. This is our business. We're now professional podcasters and strip club entrepreneurs. We're going to steal somebody else's intellectual property, one of my favorite things to do, and make it our own. Anyway, we got a power trip to do. And we decided, after some deliberation that you did not get to hear, that we're going to talk about our favorite sports games. So, yay! So, I guess, do you want to give me a countdown? I'll go first this time.
Yeah, let's go 3, 2, 1.
My favorite sports game, and I don't say it's necessarily the best game that I ever had for a sports game, is NHL 93. Because NHL 93 kind of started me down the road, or it's NHLPA 93, because they didn't have the licensing to teams, they only had the licensing to players. So I learned about hockey players before I learned about teams. And although they had teams, but they were just the city's name. So NHLPA 93 is my favorite sports game because without it, I would not be interested in hockey at all. Is that it? Oh, I
Nice.
nailed it. All right.
Yeah.
So we'll give you a countdown and I will start you here at 3, 2, 1, go.
I had a big list of these. Mutant League Football gets a mention. Joe Montana Sports Talk Football gets a mention. But I would say that my favorite game would be the NCAA Football 05 Top Spin Combo Pack for the Xbox, because I think that I probably put the most hours into that, including time doing a university franchise with you and doing creative player tennis players with you. And they were both just really, really good games, solid games.
Boom. 30 seconds. Wow, I don't want to say you cheated because you took a twofer, but you know what? It did come together and that was a thing. So you're not wrong. I'm surprised neither. I mean, honestly, I thought about Mario Golf and whatnot, but in terms of like games that had an effect on my life, it's pretty much that one.
Oh, same. I remember, I mean, we love Mario Sports. I played the Mario Golf on my Advance and then took it to the GameCube because that was one of the ones where you could plug your Game Boy Advance Cup game into the game, and it damn near broke the GameCube game because my guy could drive like 400 yards on GameCube.
I remember that. I forgot, but now I remember.
All it did was piss my brother off.
Well, that was his game. Like, seriously, that and Smash and Soul Calibur 2. Those were his games, you know, that at least on console, because, well, he was big on GameCube, everything. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, sports games, there's always a good one for every system or one that I vividly remember. But I feel like I'm moving further away the older I get. It's really, like I said, I'm really narrowing it down. We play hockey every year, though we used to play more like connected franchise, and now we haven't even done that the last like 3 years now, four years.
Well, short
maybe.
Of Madden, it doesn't exist but anymore or anything.
That's what I mean. Like, I feel like every year I'm losing something that I loved about sports games. And it was mostly playing with you, to be completely honest. All of my best sports memories, even when we plugged in a Super Nintendo, I remember one night we decided we were going to see how much Super Nintendo Tecmo Super Bowl III we could play to run up some stats. And I like picked the Dolphins or something to see if I could break the passing yards thing. And then my dog came in and kicked the cartridge and froze the game in the middle of the game. And it made me want to stop entirely. And I don't know if we ever revisited it, but like all of my like sports memories were also with you, minus maybe the oldest of old Sega games or regular Nintendo games. So,
see, I don't know. I love all sports games. Honestly, Madden is the one that I'm like the least enthused about now. Like the football sports games don't really do it for me anymore. I don't know. Maybe it's just because, you know what the biggest problem is right now is that EA has such a monopoly on so many different sports franchises that there's not a lot of inventiveness, or they're not improving anything. And you could argue that, well, they're doing a really good job now, so why would they try to get better? But sincerely, like looking at other games and how games in general have progressed in terms of their realism and everything like that, the fact that Madden still is what Madden is today is purely just laziness and catering to a fan base that is too engrossed in the old ways to embrace that kind of change. Like, I don't know. Like, you know, it's funny, but this is a bad year for sports because the hockey game is very mediocre. You don't really need to get anything. The FIFA game is getting surprisingly low reviews. Madden's probably going to get what Madden always gets, which is going to be like, you know, middle of the road, like 80 something, because everyone realizes that you can't give Madden a bad rating because it's the only football game, but you can knock it for not trying anything new. But, I don't know. This is gonna be a really, really mild game for sports. I hope the basketball game's good because ain't nothing else working.
The thing that really irks me with current gen sports is, like you said, it's going away from the things that people have always loved, like playing entire seasons or playing connected franchises with friends where you can invest in a lot. And it's going more towards like the ultimate team style thing where it's one individual, like one single player just earning thing.
No, it's a gacha game. It's a freaking gacha game. And it's them killing you with microtransactions to play these modes. Like the ultimate team thing, EA's ultimate team thing is the only thing they pay any attention to every year now for every franchise. And that includes hockey, and that includes FIFA is a little bit different, but FIFA has it too. Madden has it now. Like, it's the only sport that EA doesn't have a stranglehold on is basketball with 2K. That's the only, and those basketball games, some of those like career modes and stuff like that have been amazing. Like they have whole like full-fledged stories to go with like your career mode now. And that's more than Madden has done. And that's why we look at NFL 2K5, the ESPN game, the last one that 2K made, is so like why it so resonates with people. Not only did they retail it at $20, which is unheard of, it had great gameplay, and it bothered to give you like a whole aesthetic story mode, and they gave you Chris Berman actually like doing, not only just voiceover but actual like video stuff. Like they don't even give like the Madden games don't even have like halftime cutscenes with John Madden talking to people or whoever is going to be the commentary the any particular year. They don't even do that anymore. It's
If
stupid.
ever there was a year where
They're
Midway
lazy.
should have tried to make a comeback with these style of games, it should have been this year. Or even like, because we're pitching great ideas to shitty people, Midway, if you listen to this podcast or anybody who's associated with Midway in any way whatsoever, maybe just make Blitz again. Why can't you just make Blitz again? Why can't you make Blitz? Why can't you make a basketball game, a hockey game, and a football game? Just put one of each out. I don't think anybody would even give two shits if it had licensed players. Nobody would care. Just put the game out again. Put the same goddamn game out.
No, but that's the thing. Licensed players like the players associations, because like speaking like NHLPA 93 what had all the players' names and likenesses, didn't have the teams. You don't need the fucking teams. You just have to have a vague facsimile of those teams. Shit, Joe Montana's Sports Talk Football didn't have
No.
either. That's funny that you mentioned that game. That game was so
I
bad.
like that game because other than Joe Montana, yeah, there was nobody in that game. Joe Montana drops back the pass. Oh, unbelievable.
If you played too quickly and you picked your plays too quick and ran the plays too quick, he'd be talking about three plays ago, which is ironically kind of what it's like listening to John Madden. But
Yeah, Midway.
that was a problem with some of the EA games too. Like if you ran too many plays in like a hurry up offense and you skipped all the play calling, like they would finish their rant or whatever. Chris Collinsworth would be going on and on about how he knows Tony Romo, and you're like already scored the touchdown and kicking the extra point.
Good times. So yeah, let's get Quick Strip going and let's put brand new Midway arcade machines in there.
Yeah. Oh shit, yeah. You can only play while you're pumping gas. Let's do it. Let's sell some fossil fuel. We'll get it all. We'll do it
No,
all.
okay.
Quick
Stripping
strip,
while you
quick
pump
strip,
gas. You can only play the
arcade.
games inside, and you have to be eating while you play.
Or you have to hand the money to the stripper, and she goes and puts it in the machine,
Oh.
and then you can continue playing, and she keeps the money. But you get to just play video
Maybe
games
it's
and
50-50.
she
So
gets a job.
if you have a
You get to
$5 bill,
play.
250 goes to the stripper and 250 goes into the machine.
No, workers are entitled to all of the fruits of their labor. The stripper gets
Well,
all the
no, I mean,
money.
but that's
That's
how
the
much play
rules.
you get. The stripper in the end of the shift
Oh.
empties the machine, but you only get to play 50% of what you pay. So if you want to pay $10
No,
worth, the
I
stripper
think.
needs $20 for you to play $10 worth of game.
I think it's up to the stripper
Okay.
how long you get to play. I mean,
All right.
you come up and be like, yeah, $20, what's this worth? And be like, 5 minutes, cha-ching.
Right.
Then come out and dance to like the NBA on NBC.
Basketball, basketball. Dunk it.
All the ideas, professional podcasters and entrepreneurs. $13. Let's do
If you're
this.
tuned in weekly to this show and you know all these great ideas because you tune in weekly to this show, tell your friends where all the great ideas in your life come from. From the two professional
Yeah.
podcasters that talk about N64 games.
Professional podcasters. I don't care if anybody takes anything that I say ever in life and makes it reality, because all I have is good ideas. So you can just take it and make it, and I'll just play it. Like I don't need the credit for it. I don't even need the money for it. Just do things that take the things in my brain and make it reality. I don't really care about the strip club thing, by the way. That's just a thing that I read and I thought it was silly. But
But if
I'm
those
just trying
open
to
up
figure.
next year, I'll pump my gas just to know that
I'm bringing arcades back. That's my ultimate goal. And if I have to use strippers to make that happen, To supplement the income of the arcade, so be it. I mean, who needs it more than a bunch of nerds, like when it comes to strippers? So, we're killing two birds with one
See, I
stone.
always thought a used video game store slash Chinese buffet would do well, but I like your idea of strip club slash arcade. There's a lot of crossover genres that are just untapped.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of any more off the top of my head. I mean, we really hit so many home runs tonight. Just a great episode. Like, honestly, you guys should just go rate us on anything as 5 out of 5, and make sure you plug our ideas in the review so people know that we're talking about strippers. Tell them there's naked ladies on our show. I mean, there's not, but I'm just to get people to listen. Look, I'm not above lying, so we're just gonna lie.
I do like your idea about ratings, though. I don't know when this episode is going to air necessarily, but I did do another Facebook thing where you get entered to a contest if you leave us a rating on our Facebook page. Even if you don't know what our
Oh
Facebook page
shit.
is about, because some of the ratings were a great meme page. And I have to be like, no, actually, we're a podcast. That's why it says podcast. But yeah, I know we share great memes too. I know.
You do exclusively share memes and never ever mention the podcast
No.
because we're professionals. And if you don't know already, well, now you know.
We had like three
Shit.
podcast posts today, and they actually got lots of engagement. So.
Oh, well, that's I'm happy. All I know is that when my Facebook gets blown up and I see it's all Pharaoh Wizards, I'm like, oh. And I click on it and it's somebody shared, but they shared it and they don't make their shares public. So I'm like, cool, total stranger.
People like our
I
memes,
can't
bro.
even comment. They do like your memes. I haven't made a meme for the page in forever. Maybe I'll make a meme. Maybe I'll make a meme today.
For this one, I made
I'll take a
a picture of Pharaoh Wizard Sean Kemp dunking over Michael Jordan because I thought that was
Oh,
apropos.
right. Mr. Player 89 doesn't even make an appearance in
Nope.
this game.
That's why we're dunking on him. Can we get Froggy Fresh for
Just
the
yes, I don't know what that is, but
the Froggy
yes.
Fresh, I just why is Billy crying? Because he just got dunked
Oh. Oh shit. We're gonna end this episode. It's been real, y'all.
love you. Good night.
Why James Brown? 'Cause he just got dunked down. I ain't even